This is an ABC podcast.
This is The Conversation Hour. With Jonathan Kendall.
Hey, when you're strolling through the supermarket, do you stop and read the labels? Because there are just so many marketing terms designed to get you to put a particular product into your trolley. And we're talking about a couple of those today. So particularly for eggs and meat, I'm talking about free range, grass-fed, cruelty-free, biodynamic, antibiotic-free, and pastured. Do any of those ring a bell for you? And do you know what any of them mean? That's the other thing. We're going to get clear definitions on those terms today, because an independent panel advising the federal government has recommended traditional battery cages be phased out between 2032 and 2036. And that would mean there are only free-range eggs for sale. So how does that make you feel? I mean, animal rights groups say that isn't soon enough. They say that's the phase-out is too long. But for others, there's a concern about making eggs more expensive. I mean, if we move to free-range eggs only, do we make eggs unaffordable for some? We're going to hear from farmers today and connoisseurs, egg connoisseurs. Yes, they exist. When you're in the egg aisle, what's your choice based on? Do you look at things like free range? Do you exclusively buy free range eggs? Because, I mean, the news is that by either 2032 or 2036, potentially in Australia, that will be the only product you can buy. You'll only be able to buy free-range eggs. ABC reporter Alison Branley has been reporting on this. Good morning.
Hi, how are you going?
Very, very well. What's been the reaction to that?
The 2036 phase-out. It was quite interesting, actually. A lot of online commenters on the ABC's Facebook page have basically said they think it's, you know, a bit long. They don't understand why it needs to be 15 years. And that's kind of echoing a lot of what animal welfare groups feel about it. But conversely, there's the farmers who are the ones who have to really change over a lot of their barns and egg systems, who say they need, you know, a lot of time to do that.
And I think overseas, other countries are acting pretty quickly. So eggs from caged hens have been outlawed in Europe since 2012. And New Zealand will finish their egg use next year. Is there pressure because of other countries making moves like that?
Well, Australia really has been a bit of an outlier when it comes to the phasing out of battery hens. And it was interesting. I was talking to a cafe owner the other day, and he actually worked for McDonald's, of all people, in the UK, and was part of their move to phase out eggs over a decade ago to get rid of the caged eggs. And he sort of said, I just cannot believe how far behind Australia is on this particular issue. So there is a lot of people who have that kind of concern about animal welfare, and we've certainly seen that play out on supermarket shelves. The proportion of free-range eggs has really been going up pretty consistently over the past decade, but it's that other side. It's the commercial cooking where we haven't seen it take off as much, not as many retailers and cafes and bakeries who really, you know, have it on their marketing, or it's not something you really think about when you, as you say, go and get your bacon and egg roll on the weekend.
Indeed. And lots of people texting through saying they exclusively buy free-range eggs. This one says, Jonathan, I do buy free-range, but you have to check the chook density on the packages. So they range from 10,000 chooks per hectare to 50, which is true. Because I think from 2017 that came in that you have to have to be labelled free-range. You have to egg producers can run a maximum of 10,000 hens per hectare of land, and they have to have, in inverted commas, meaningful and regular access to an outdoor range during daylight hours and be free to roam and forage inside. But have you heard much reaction to the price? Because, I mean, this is going to force prices up, isn't it?
Yes, I mean, that's the key question, and I guess it depends whether people are willing to pay. Though we have seen a lot of really big companies like Messina, McDonald's, who've already moved to free-range hens, and it really hasn't you know, noticeably affected their prices. So, I mean, perhaps they get some economies of scale that smaller producers wouldn't. But it does seem, from at least the consumer perspective at the supermarket, people are willing to pay for free range. And, you know, as you probably will hear later, some of the connoisseurs definitely think it makes the taste different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's have a chat now with Jenna from Heidelberg. Good morning, Jenna. What's
Hi
your
there.
Position on this?
Oh, I'm all about this. When I buy my eggs, I'm very conscious of the density. I will only buy eggs. I have to go to gourmet supermarkets to actually access those sorts of eggs. But the density is really important. I'm thinking, if like, you know, if I'm eating chickens, eggs, I don't want to be responsible for continuing a market that is so cruel. This is how I feel. I feel like it's cruel the way we look after and treat our chickens. In terms of beef, I will either source directly from a farmer, or if I am buying it from one of the big supermarkets, I am usually looking for grass-fed beef if I can.
Which is all well and good, Jenna, but can you understand some people wouldn't be able to afford those products?
Yeah. And look, I'm a single person. I'm on an average income, and I've been doing this in terms of eggs, I've been buying more expensive eggs for probably 20 years because I don't agree with how they're maintained. But I cut back in other areas because it doesn't sit right with me, and I don't want to be eating those. And sometimes I do, if I'm out and I'm eating eggs somewhere else, I often don't feel well. And especially with meat, I don't feel well if I'm eating the more unethically produced beef. I really notice the difference.
So is that just in your head, or can you taste a difference, do you think? Is there a difference between
definitely taste. Sometimes if I go to my partner's house, he'll buy cheap eggs, which I don't agree with, the cheap eggs. Sometimes I'll have reactions even just from the eggs, especially if they're grain-fed. I'm gluten intolerant. I'll have reactions to that. Beef and chicken, especially chicken. If I am buying chicken, I'll buy organic chicken. If I'm eating any of the hormone-laden chicken, I often have reactions to that where I get foggy head, I feel really lethargic, and that lasts for a few hours.
Well, look, thank you for your perspective, Jenna. Hey, Alison, this is really interesting that people are keen to buy free-range eggs from the supermarket in cartons, but I'm wondering whether that will translate through to things like cakes because, you know, cake makers, bakeries use a lot of eggs. Whether they're prepared to pay extra for cakes and pancakes and all that sort of thing. And do you think, have you seen that people are willing to pay extra?
I think the consumer willingness to pay is there, because obviously if you're going out for brunch, you know, it's a bit of a treat anyway, and you know, what would it probably be, another 50 cents or dollar or something. But I think what isn't there is the awareness to even think to ask. I know it didn't even occur to me till I did this story, you know, if I'm buying a birthday cake or whatever, oh yeah, what are the eggs used in it? Or you know, if you're buying something from the supermarket that's already, you know, pre-prepared, you know, oh, you know, what were the powdered eggs that went into, where did they come from? So I think, you know, we've had so much discussion around just the eggs you buy in the supermarket. And as your callers are suggesting, they're very well informed about definitions of free range and all that sort of thing. But people just don't think about it when it comes to the other products where eggs are an ingredient.
Yeah, and that's the tricky thing. Heather is in Essendon. Heather, you've got a snazzy app. What does that do for you?
Well, any time I go into a supermarket, and I tend not to buy eggs in supermarkets anymore because none of them show on the app that they are free range, even though they're advertised as free range or organic. I'm like Gemma. I go to marketplaces, and I make sacrifices because I absolutely refuse to eat eggs or chicken that aren't organic or genuine free range.
Yeah, and I reckon that's been happening for a while in Australia. There's only a certain number of chickens that can produce free-range eggs in Australia, but yet there are heaps of eggs labelled as free-range. So surely there's got to be someone kind of stretching the truth here a little bit, isn't there?
Absolutely. I do. I believe that. I think that I don't know how they get away with it because are we not governed by something? I mean, who does that?
Yeah, yeah. And who's policing? Who's going out to the farms checking the density on these chooks? Heather, thank you for your call. Alison, and look, thank you for having a chat to us. It's really interesting that some of those big manufacturers like that you've named, you know, Arnott's, McDonald's, Messina, they're not using caged eggs in their product. But I think we'll just have to wait and see. You know, the proof will be in the pudding with the other smaller producers.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Thank you for your time, Alison Brownlee, ABC reporter. Brian Ahmed is with LT's Eggs, and he's at Werribee. Morning, Brian.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well. You produce eggs from caged hens, don't you?
Well, yes, but over our lifetime, I've been in the egg industry for over 50 years, and I've produced eggs in barn, free-range and cage systems, yes.
All right. Well, can you kind of explain some of those terms to us? So grass-fed is pretty self-explanatory, you know,
yeah.
And grain-fed. Cruelty-free, what does that mean to you?
Well, it means different things to different people. But I'm not sure what a lot of people think, but Australian farmers have always been aware of the importance of animal welfare, and that's how they make their living. The better they look after their birds, the better they perform, and that's how they make their money.
Yeah, and we've been hearing from lots of people this morning saying, I exclusively buy free-range eggs. I won't buy any eggs from hens that have been kept in cages. Can you understand that perspective?
Well, everyone has a difference in opinion, but I guess it comes back to what your needs are. Now, it's very easy to say, I'm buying it for animal welfare, but you got to remember, a farmer's got to juggle animal welfare, food safety, biosecurity, and then you can throw OH&S on top of that as well. So, you know, for us, if you look back to the 60s when here in Australia we were all free range, we went into cages, and we went into the cages for two particular reasons, and that was to improve the welfare of the birds and improve the quality and the safety of the eggs.
Can you just talk us through, you know, a life cycle or the life cycle of a chicken on your farm?
Well, our birds, we buy them at a day old, and they're reared on a separate farm until they're about 16 weeks of age. And then they come into our commercial egg farm when it's all the same, when they're about 16 weeks of age, and they usually start laying about 18 weeks, and we keep them for approximately till they're about 70 to 75 weeks of age, because that's when they're most productive. And because we have a business to run, it's different if you've got chickens at home and you've got six chooks and you're getting two or three eggs, you're quite happy with that. But if you've got a commercial business to run, you've almost got to get an egg a day out of them.
Mm. So what happens to the chooks after they finish that stage of their life in the productive phase, as you call it?
Well, they go to the processors, and they could get culled as boilers, or they become meat mill in rendering and things like that. So they sometimes become pet food. There's a number of different options.
Yeah, yeah. A text here saying, keeping chickens in a cage is cruel. I buy a brand that has 30 hens per hectare. Yeah. What do you reckon about that, Brian?
Well, first of all, you've got to understand why they've been put in cages. And the number one reason we put them in cages was to remove the chicken from the feces, from playing around in its feces, because that's how disease spreads. So by putting them in cages, we reduced mortality rates by 15%. So how do you judge welfare? If you think a farming system where 15, 20% of your birds die more, well then, well, you go to free range. But if you think it's better that they're roaming around, well then you buy free range. So it comes back, what's the consumer buying the eggs for? And there are pros and cons in all our systems. So you've got to know the whole story.
Mm. There's also concern on the text line here about the chicks who are born as males. What happens to them?
Well, the chicks that are born as males, many years ago, we used to breed those males, and we used to sell them as chicken meat where people used to eat. But unfortunately, these days, the chicken meat industry is very efficient and productive, and there's really no need to grow the rooster. So they sometimes get rendered as well and become a protein source in some other diet as well. Mm. But, of course, at least the industry, they are working on that. They're coming up with new technology where they'll be able to only hatch the eggs that are chicken, so we may be able to stop that process in the future. But at this stage, it's in the early stages of being worked out.
Yeah, and when you say get rendered, what do you mean?
Well, they're culled and they're rendered into meat meal and things like that.
Yeah,
they get
processed. And what's the demand like? I mean, do you have strong demand
for caged eggs?
Yeah, for your eggs. Yep.
Oh yeah. Look, the egg market's growing. Free range is growing, and so is caged eggs. Right now, unfortunately, we've got big supermarkets here that are playing the game. They're taking consumer choice off the shelves because they want people to buy free-range eggs. There's more profit in it for them. So they're not really worried. But, I mean, there's plenty of market outside of the supermarkets. The supermarkets sell less than half the eggs that we produce here in Australia. And there are plenty of people out there that would prefer a caged egg for the reasons that they buy eggs.
Mm. Look, thank you for having a chat with us, Brian. I appreciate your time.
All right. Thank you very much.
Brian Ahmed from LT's Eggs at Werribee. He produces eggs from, his chooks produce eggs from caged hens. Lots and lots of text on this. This one says, I buy eggs based on location. Food miles are important to me as well as free range. Another here, I only buy eggs from 1,500 hens per hectare farms. This one says Australian meat does not contain hormones. And again, here's another one. We haven't even spoken about hormones. What will happen when Australia is struck by an avian disease? So that's a concern for Lorraine in Bendigo. Judy in Mount Eliza says, hi, Jono. We're fortunate on the Mornington Peninsula to have several egg farms. I'm able to buy free-range eggs easily at the farm. I also shop organic poultry at the supermarket. The free-range eggs definitely taste different to cage eggs, and I often get double yolkers. Gee, I haven't seen a double yolker in a while. We did put in calls to, we asked the RSPCA for a statement this morning on this, and this is the news that this independent panel has advised the federal government to phase out eggs from caged hens by either 2032 or 2036, or between 2032 and 2036, I should say. And the statement reads, we're pleased to see the independent panel has acted on the science. The overwhelming scientific evidence base shows that it is impossible to meet the welfare needs of hens in these small barren wire cages. The community has also said loud and clear they want to see a phase out of battery cages. And it goes on to say, we do, however, want to see the transition period considerably shortened. We understand that transitions take time, but every year the transition takes is another year that millions of smart, curious social hens are confined to cages with less than an A4 size sheet of paper in floor space. Jason is in Simpson and is a farmer. Morning, Jason.
G'day, mate. How are you going?
Good. Go ahead.
Look, I was just calling a particular lady who rang up before, really aggravated me, and a lot of consumers need to educate themselves. I think someone texted through, chickens, it is illegal to put hormones in chickens in Australia. So she said she can taste hormones. That's rubbish. She's only tasting the natural hormones.
Well, this is Lorraine in Bendigo who was saying Australian meat does not contain hormones, but what will happen when Australia is struck by an avian disease for which there is no vaccine and the chickens have no protection from airborne diseases because they're outdoors? So I don't know whether you misheard that.
No, it wasn't her. It was the caller up who called earlier and said she could taste the difference between... she went to her partner's place and she could taste
Jenna.
The
yes,
between
Jenna.
Chicken that had hormones in it. She also said that she could taste the difference between chickens that ate grain and didn't eat grain. I'm sorry, every chicken eats grain, whether they're organic, free range, anything. Yes, they have a portion of their diet is grass, etc. So she's saying she can taste the grain in the chickens. Mm. Every egg has grain. Every chicken eats grain. So it just, as a primary producer, this really irritates me. I've got friends who are organic farmers who are egg producers in northern Victoria, where I was originally from, and I support that. I think it's great. But what consumers have got to understand is when they go outside, they're subject to predation from birds. They're more chance of having different diseases from the ibises and those sorts of things that come around. And that can be terrible. It can mean the culling of every bird there. Now, that's fine. you know, we're getting them out of the cages and that sort of stuff. But the consumers need to be aware of the reality of farming and what occurs when we do these things. And I just get really upset when I hear these people saying untruths on the radio about what our animals eat or what hormones they contain, because it simply isn't true.
Yeah, well, I think you've set the record straight there, Jason. So thank you for that. Jason from Simpson says that all chooks will eat grain. So if you can taste grain in the eggs, which I think Jenna was saying, she called through and said she could taste that earlier. Maybe it's a bit like a sommelier. I'm probably mispronouncing that. But you know how they say they can, you know, they'll do a blind taste test of wine and they say they can taste the grapes, where it came from, the year it was produced. Ian Onley is he's a biodynamic egg producer at Gormandale in Gippsland. G'day, Ian.
G'day, Jonathan.
What does biodynamic mean when it comes to producing eggs?
Biodynamics is a method of farming that's been around for quite some time now. Rudolf Steiner originally came up with the idea in the 1920s, and a man by the name of Alex Podolinski in Australia in the 50s developed a system that we use here from his ideas. He worked out the best method of applying those ideas. And, now what he's developed in Australia is going back to Europe and being used there. It's a very efficient way of converting organic matter to humus in your soil.
So it sounds to be all about the soil. I mean, the soil is really important when it comes to biodynamic farming.
That's right. Yeah.
Now, we were just having a chat with Brian Ahmed, who produces, his chooks produce eggs and they're caged. And he was saying that part of the reason it's better to have them in cages is because they don't mess around in their feces and then get diseases. Does that happen on your farm?
No, I don't have any diseases on my farm. Diseases usually come when nutrition is poor for their animals. Well, I can understand why people did put chickens in cages. They're much easier to manage that way. And the cleanliness is, the droppings fall away under the cage. You don't get dirty eggs, et cetera, et cetera. I've got a system of roll-away nests that the eggs are very clean. I don't have to wash them. It's a matter of applying the right technologies in the right places.
So we've talked through grass-fed and grain-fed, pretty straightforward. Cruelty-free, what does that mean to you?
Well, I can understand. Look, I wouldn't like to be shut in a cage all my life. I think we need to recognise that animals are sentient beings. I think humans in general don't recognise that fact. We need to have respect for the animals that we use in our food production and treat them as we would like to be treated.
Yeah, and we've talked through biodynamic as well, but I just want to play you a little grab here from John Hazeldine. And you might know the Hazeldines. They're a big chicken producer in central Victoria. And here's John Hazeldine talking about their stance on antibiotics.
Back in 2012, we made the ethical decision of eliminating all antibiotic growth promoters from our chicken. We were one of the first companies in Australia to eliminate all antibiotic growth promoters from all our products. It was an ethical decision made by our company, and it was the right thing to do.
Now, Ian Onley, can you talk to us about antibiotics and how they're used? I mean, I don't think they'd be used on your farm by the sounds of it, but why are they used and how are they used?
As far as I understand, they're used to kill off the microflora in a chicken's gut so that the chicken can use more of the feed that it eats for itself rather than maintaining an ecology of microflora in their gut. That's as I understand it. So they get better use of the feed that they eat.
Yeah. And the only other term that we haven't talked through, so I'll just get you your opinion on this, pastured. What does pastured mean?
Well, the pastured phrase is being used to describe eggs that are have access to green feed all the time, rather than just free range where they go out and there's no grass there for them to eat. Grass is really important to a chicken as far as their diet's concerned. And there was a study done some time ago looking at the cholesterol levels of in all animals that are supposed to eat grass. If they don't actually have grass, then the omega-3 to omega-6 ratio changes and they produce the bad cholesterol. That's from a layman's point of view. But this is why it's important that animals who are meant to eat grass actually do get fresh grass.
Yeah. Ian, thank you so much for having a chat with us this morning. Ian Onley from Bullfrog Gully Produce, which is at Gormandale in Gippsland, and he's a biodynamic egg producer, which is all about the soil. What are your thoughts on this, and what are your thoughts on the plan from an independent panel recommending to the federal government that we should only have free-range eggs for sale after, well, at least 2036. That's the kind of deadline that they're setting. What do you think? Tim Kingmer is the pig group president with the VFF, the Victorian Farmers Federation. G'day, Tim.
Yeah, good morning.
Do you think that term free range is a big factor in whether people decide to buy pork and bacon and all that sort of stuff?
Oh, I think for some people it's appealing to them, but I think there's also a lot of people that is based on price.
Yeah, and you're a second-generation pig farmer from north central Victoria. So tell us about what happens on your farm.
Yes, I'm an intensive pig farmer, which from our point of view, it means we can control the environment for the animals, 24 hours a day, every day of the year. And I guess we've always done it that way because we felt that was the best way that we could look after the animal and get throughput to sell enough each week.
So it's partly a financial decision, I guess, which has to, I mean, you're running a business, but can you just talk us through what intensive farming is? You said, I'm an intensive farmer. What does that mean?
Well, for me, it means that they're in sheds. You know, that's probably the basic definition, that they're raised in sheds.
Yeah. And what's their life like?
Well, I think it's, I'm comfortable with it. I know that not everyone's going to agree with intensive farming, but I think what I'd like to get across to the consumer is that, for me, animal welfare is one of our number one areas of concern. And my staff love coming to work because they're caring for animals. And we all come to work every day to do that. And if the animal wasn't cared for, well, it wouldn't produce for us either. So I think there's a lot of good reasons and good science why we have them indoors. And I guess I'd like the consumer to understand that with our quality assurance programs, with our control of the animal, that the animal welfare is paramount to us.
Yeah, okay. And can you just talk us through some of those arguments for what you call intensive farming, or, you know, farming of pigs in sheds?
Yeah, for sure. So nowadays, I'm actually building a brand new site right now. It is fully indoors, but it's all high technology. It's all around the group housing of the animals. It's all electronic tags, so I can enter into the computer how much feed each sow requires. If it's a sow that's a bit skinnier, we can bump up the amount of feed she needs. She goes into a single thing to eat her ration for the day, so she's fully protected, no bullying, and fully controlled. At the other end, the market pigs, once again, the same deal. They go through scales and sorters so that we can make sure we get the best pig at the right weight for market.
Tim Kingmer is president of the VFF Pig Group and talking to us about his operation in north central Victoria. He's a pig farmer. So do you get much opposition? Do you get people saying, oh, you know, I only buy free-range pork, or I'll only, you know, that's a big factor for me?
I guess being in the bush, I'm a rural person, I don't get those conversations. What the most conversations I get is, how do I actually buy Australian bacon and Australian hams? And that's a conversation I love having with consumers. And And I think we're really pushing hard with the supermarkets and the butchers to stock more Australian bacon, because the majority of it isn't. And I really encourage people to look at the label and see that it's at least 90% Australian, or it's got the big pork, pink pork Australian label on it.
Mm. Tim, thank you so much for giving us an insight into your operation. Tim Kingmer, VFF Pig Group President, so he's with the Victorian Farmers Federation. Richard Cornish is an award-winning food writer and author. G'day, Richard.
G'day, John. How are you doing?
Yeah, very well. Firstly, with eggs, we've been talking a lot about eggs today, but can you taste the difference between a free-range egg and an egg from a caged hen?
Yeah.
What's the difference?
It's really... there's a texture, flavour, even aroma. There's a you get all three of those parameters. From a free-range egg. Talking to John Olney before, he'd grow some of the best eggs in the world. If you open one of his eggs up, because look, those birds are on a really complex diet. It's not a scientific diet. It's basically a pretty random diet. It's what John grows for them, what he creates for them, but also what's there on the ground. There's a lot of bugs. There's a lot of bits of stone for their gullet. There's lots of little nematodes, arachnids, anything that's in the soil, those birds are eating. So they're getting a mass of complexity, and you can taste it in the egg. And the texture, for example, the eggs, they're like almost like little jellies when you crack open the egg. The eggs don't run. And it's not just about the freshness. It's just about basically the way they hold together. You can taste, there's almost like, for some people, it could be even a little bit strong. There's almost a poultry taste, a chickeny taste, an eggy taste to them.
Yeah, right. And, okay, you're speaking like a connoisseur. Do you mind if I call you a connoisseur, Richard? Is that okay?
Please don't. They'll offend everyone concerned. No, I'm a farm boy, John. I grew up on a farm, and I grew up with tasting food, you know, straight from the animals, straight from the ground. So, yeah. And I've tasted, you know, food around the world. I'm not concerned. I'm just a big fat eater.
You enjoy your food, but you take your food seriously as well, and you write about food.
The funny thing about free-range eggs is, though, the colour will change seasonally. Come this time of the year, when there's when the grass isn't growing as much, true free range eggs won't be as brightly coloured, and because there's not as much beta carotene in the grass that makes them that lovely orange yellow colour. Eggs in a barn or in a cage, they're actually given a little bit of a colour supplement. It's naturally occurring. It comes from flowers and it comes from natural sources, but that's in the feed, so that gives the egg that lovely bright colour in the cage and the barn eggs. But this time of the year, you'll probably see paler eggs from the free-range birds.
Yes, for sure. You do take your food pretty seriously.
I'm paid to do it. I'm a professional.
That's true. You are a professional. You're a food writer and an author. Do you think everyone takes their eggs this seriously?
Look, what you've got to realise is not everyone tastes things exactly the same. Some people won't experience that the full flavour of things like other people. Some people will not have those life experiences. And so there's a whole lot of people. The way we taste things is completely different. Some people just won't get it because they haven't either don't have the knowledge or the experience or that memory, or their tongue and their nose and their brain won't be able to detect the differences. And so you've got to realise not everyone tastes things exactly the same.
Yeah, fair enough. So what do you think are the customer preferences? Do you think, if someone's reaching for a carton of eggs from caged hens in the supermarket, do you think they kind of get judged a little bit?
Look, the drivers, you speak to anyone in retail, the drivers are about price, about packaging. They're going to be about the placement on the shelf. The things about the ethics is that people are beginning to realise that, you know, there has to be something in it for everyone. There has to be something in it for the consumer. There has to be something in it for the farmer. But there has to be something in it for the animal as well. So we can have some great tasting product that it's a really good price, but if the animal's not having a very good life, then that little triangle of ethics, it completely falls down, because if that animal's not having, you know, animals don't have a very nice life. So people are becoming aware of that three-way ethical pyramid, is that it has to be something for everyone. So people are becoming more aware that there's a lot of things involved in their food.
Yeah, and we've spoken a fair bit about eggs, but what about meat? And we've spoken about pork and bacon as well. Can you taste the difference if say there's a, you know, a grass-fed pork steak in front of you compared to you know, one from intensive farming?
The difference is on the plate. Again, pigs are omnivorous like us, and they eat a lot of stuff. They eat, again, worms, nematodes, lizards, frogs. They eat grass. They eat tubers in the ground. They will eat everything, and they also chew on rocks and things. They also get a bit of minerals from what's in the soil itself, and so yeah, you can taste that in the soil. And funnily enough, I've got chums who've got a place up at Blampede, Brooklyn's free-range farm, and they're on volcanic soil, and you can taste the iron in the meat. It's like wine that's grown on different soils. You can actually taste the difference, because it's basically the minerals to start with, and to reduce anything to a scientific level and to get exactly the right ration is really, really, really clever way of thinking economically. But again, is that what the pig wants as well?
Yeah,
because
you
have to think of that three-way relationship between the pig, the farmer, and the consumer, and also the processor as well.
Yeah. Now, Richard, I know you said you're not a connoisseur and you're a country boy, but you sound a lot like one. Thank you for having a chat.
Oh, thanks for that branding, John.
Richard Cornish, award-winning food writer and author, talking about how he can taste the difference between free-range eggs and eggs produced from hens in cages, and the same with free-range pork. Let's have a chat now with Caroline from East Malvern. Morning, Caroline.
Oh, good morning, Jonathan.
What are your thoughts?
I just wanted to chip in and just endorse everything that Richard just said. I'm an organic retailer, and I just wanted to throw in that organic and biodynamic are terms that get used a lot, but I think consumers really need to look for certified organic and certified biodynamic. Ian from Gormandale's Eggs are certified biodynamic. It's important as your guarantee that it's the real deal.
I get a lot of, because there's a lot that goes into it, isn't there, Caroline? There's a lot that goes into getting a certification of organic or biodynamic.
There's a lot, and they're regularly monitored, and the producer has to actually demonstrate that their soil is actually free of chemicals for a period of 3 years. So, for example, there's a lot that goes into it. So I have customers saying, oh, I grow my veggies organically. Well, you might not put chemicals on them, but have you had your soil tested to see that there's no lead residues? Are you growing it next to a treated pine fence that might be leaking, the chemicals into the veggie plot? So it's important to understand that chemical-free isn't the same as organic, and you need to look for certification. And on eggs, if you get a certified organic egg, it by definition will be free-range, and it will be proper free-range, not 10,000 stocking densities, but less than 1,500. And all the ones I sell around about are a maximum of 250 per hectare. So a certified organic egg is by definition properly free range.
Caroline, lovely to hear from you this morning. Thank you. Caroline at East Malvern talking about that, you can't just call yourself organic or biodynamic. You actually have to get certified for that. Dr. David McKenna is an agri-food strategy consultant and has a bit to say on this. Good morning.
Good morning, Jonathan.
What do you think? Is this a big driver in the decisions that people make in the supermarket, or are they just going on price?
Oh, look, there's always segments, but increasingly, people are, spending money with a social conscience. And as one of the callers said previously, the supermarkets are heavily driving that because they are super sensitive to corporate and social responsibility. So they're sort of a bit ahead of the consumer. But the fact of the matter is there's a percentage of consumers who want to buy eggs on price. And as as the conversation sort of explains, about half of eggs are sold, are consumed away from home in invisible form, so you don't know where the eggs come from. The other point too is that there's sort of the so-called labelling regulations, but the enforcement's sort of not that robust. And, you know, there's a law that says that, you know, if you make a claim about a product, then you have to be able to substantiate it. But very seldom is that tested in law. So, you know, there's a lot of mislabeling going on, you know, in the space, that's for sure.
Mm, yeah, and I want to run through some of those with you. So, I mean, we've heard a fair bit about those different titles today and biodynamic and free-range and grass-fed and grain-fed, et cetera, et cetera. But also there's this text here from Alison in Sylvan, and she says, I always choose caged eggs because I know the chooks are kept safe from predators, and I have kept chickens and know how cruel chooks can be to the smaller or wounded animals. I've been at both types of farms and choose caged eggs every time. So will there always be a market for caged eggs?
And, you know, I think so, as long as they're allowed. But I think there'll be increasing pressure, you know, to phase them out. I think the issue is that, you know, cage eggs are much more efficient to produce. They're higher yielding. And the other point about is that, you know, there's more control over the safety and the standards. So when you've got a free-range chook, you don't know what it eats. And, you know, if it's on an organic farm, then it's fine. But you don't know if the neighbour's sprayed, you know, or, you know, there's been residues in the soil or, you know, so it's very difficult to know what they've eaten. And so the food safety aspects of it, you know, I don't think it's a real threat, but it's certainly there's no control over that. So there's sort of a elements of both sides. But for example, in a food service business, you know, you're a restaurant and you've got to put a hamburger on, you know, with a lot for sort of $4, then you're not going to have a free-range egg unless you're in a high upmarket thing in one of the trendy suburbs. So there's a cost issue. And, you know, there's a lot of people, a lot of families that are really hurting, and there's a lot of families that are struggling to put food on the table. So they don't really have the luxury of paying an extra $2 or $3 for cage eggs. So, you know, I think there'll always be a market as long as they're allowed. You know, this, you know, so it's, but I think increasingly the market's shifting. So the market's sort of gone very quickly from 10% of the market to it's now 50% of the market, 50% of the retail market. But there's still a lot of cage eggs going into food service and in bakery goods and whatever that, and they're predominantly cage eggs.
Yeah, I reckon people, it's the same with milk. They're, you know, they're happy to pay a little bit extra for their carton of milk, but when they have to pay a little bit extra for their carton of milk, their cheese and their yogurt, because, you know, they're so that they're not kind of mass produced and ripping off the farmer, then they're not as okay with that. And I think it's kind of the same with eggs, that, you know, happy to pay for some free range eggs, but then if you have to pay for a cake that costs extra because it's got free range eggs in it, they're not as happy to do that.
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, anyway, that food service thing is very price sensitive. And the thing is, too, that the growing segment of the market is meal kits. You know, and they're, you know, since COVID, meal kits have sort of taken off, you know, significantly. And, you know, there's a lot of, they're heavily cost driven. So, you know, and so they're not going to be putting in free range eggs unless they're a very high end thing, and you're going to be paying the price for it.
Oh, you're talking about these mobs who will drop around a polystyrene kind of crate at your front door. Is that what you mean?
Exactly right, yeah. But the thing is, though, as I said before, the enforcement, it leaves a lot to be desired, because, you know, food labelling has got the sort of FSANS, which is Food Standards Australia New Zealand, which have a model code of practice which all states adopt. Then the State Department of Health look at the food safety aspects. There's the Consumer Affairs that look at the truth and labelling aspects. And there's ACCC that's got definitions around all those things. And then it's up to the local public, local government to do the compliance. So, you know, when you go to the Collingwood market to buy your food service, to buy your free-range eggs, the guy that nicked you from parking is also probably checking on the eggs. And so that's the reality of how that's the practice of how it works.
Well, really, councils are stretched. I mean, how can they have council officers out on a weekend, you're right, at farmers markets, checking the veracity of producers' claims to be free range, and also, you know, checking on their parking
but
as well.
But I think that I could go along to a supermarket, buy eggs, and print a fresh label, a new label saying there's Davo's cage eggs, and the chance of me getting caught would be very remote.
Yes, yeah. So it is. It's up to the councils, is it, to police this?
Yes, yeah, it is. Yeah, so the councils it's local government that has, I mean, the health department have an overarching role, but the compliance is largely up to local government, and that's across all food. So, you know, it's a very, very complex system. And the thing is that, you know, the law says you have to be able to sustain any claim, but unless that's tested in court, which it rarely is, you know, I think it's probably where you want to see high profile cases where it's been tested, but it's almost never tested. So, you know, and so there's, you know, I'm not saying people are dishonest, but the chances of, you know, it's very easy to mislead people.
Yeah, so do you think we're getting duped? That, you know, I've read reports of there are a certain number of chooks in Australia that can produce free-range eggs, but then we produce, you know, a third more of eggs and label them free-range. So, you know, the maths just doesn't add up.
Exactly. It absolutely doesn't add up, no. Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. So the irony of it is that if you want to be guaranteed of getting certified cage free-range eggs, you've got the best chance in a supermarket because supermarkets audit their suppliers. So they'll send a third party out there, and if you say you're doing something, then you've got to sustain that and you've got to prove that to a third party auditor. So you know, the thing is, in a farmer's market, there's no regulation whatsoever. So ironically, supermarkets have actually got the, because of their self-imposed standards, I mean, every supplier is heavily audited and regularly audited by a third party, and the numbers have to stack up. And if they don't stack up, you lose your listing in the supermarket. So that's another irony of the whole thing.
Mm. Dr. David McKinnor, thank you so much for your expertise.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Dr. David McKinnor, an agri-food strategy consultant, talking about the demand and the desire for free-range eggs and also free-range meat products as well, and how things are changing and people are becoming a bit more educated. But when it comes to the crunch, when it comes down to money, a lot of the time we're not actually prepared to pay that little bit extra for a cake or pancakes or anything that contains eggs or, you know, that sort of thing. So that's the Conversation Hour for today. But if you missed the start of this program, or if you know someone who'd be interested in this topic, subscribe to the Conversation Hour podcast on the ABC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts. Also, you can email us at conversationhour@abc.net.au. We'd love to hear from you with any suggestions, comments, questions, and ideas for future shows. Thanks for listening, and have a good one.